Have you ever stood so close to a running Pratt and Whitney radial engine that you could feel the exhaust pulse in your chest? I mean literally feel it, like a second heartbeat. I'm Ramp, and this is Ramped Check on Radio Hangar. And friends, I just got back from a weekend at Chino, California, and I have got to tell you about it. The Planes of Fame Air Show. If you have never been, put it on your list right now. I'm serious. Stop what you're doing and put it on your list, because this is not your average air show. This is living, breathing, flying history, and I was right there on the ramp for all of it. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Okay. Let me set the scene for you. Chino Airport, that's KCNO for you chart nerds, Southern California Inland Empire. You fly in and the San Gabriel Mountains are sitting right there to the north, still dusted with snow in the early morning light. The field sits at 650 feet elevation, so the air is thick and the engines love it. You come in on runway 26 left, and as you're rolling out, you can already see them, rows and rows of warbirds parked on the south ramp. Silver, olive drab, navy blue, the colors of every theater of the Second World War, just sitting there in the California sun. I landed early Saturday morning, like embarrassingly early, the kind of early where the line crew looks at you funny because the coffee hasn't even finished brewing at the fixed base operator, but I didn't care. I wanted to be first on that ramp.
And let me tell you what it smells like. You know how some people talk about the smell of a new car? Forget that. Give me the smell of Avgiz and old hydraulic fluid and sun-baked aluminum. That is the perfume of Chino. That is what this place is. The Planes of Fame Air Museum has been here since 1957. 1957. They have been collecting, and here's the key part, flying these aircraft for almost 70 years. So I'm walking the ramp. It's maybe 7:30 in the morning. The volunteers are pulling aircraft out of the hangars, and I round a corner and I stop dead in my tracks. There it is, a Mitsubishi A6M5. You know it has the Zero, the Japanese Zero, and not a replica, not a static display piece. The only genuinely airworthy original Japanese Zero flying anywhere in the world. Let that sink in for a second. The only one on the entire planet, and it's sitting right there in front of me with its cowling panels open and a mechanic named Dave leaning into the engine bay with a flashlight. I walked up to Dave and I said, "Can I ask you about this airplane?" And this guy, he doesn't even look up, he just goes, "Everybody asks about this airplane." Then he smiled and spent the next 20 minutes telling me everything. This particular Zero is a Model 52. It was recovered from an island in the Pacific, brought back, restored. And here's what Dave told me that just blew my mind. The engine in this airplane is the original Nakajima Sake 14-cylinder radial original. They didn't swap in an American engine. They didn't retrofit anything. They maintain and fly this thing with the engine it rolled out of the factory with. Dave said finding parts is, and I'm quoting him here, a creative exercise in patience. They machine custom parts. They source materials from all over the world. He said there are maybe a dozen people on Earth who truly understand the Sake engine at this point, and three of them volunteer at Planes of Fame. I asked him what it's like to work on an airplane that's the only one of its kind. He put down his flashlight and looked at me and said, "Every time it flies, I hold my breath until it lands."
That hit me right in the gut. Now, the air show itself. Let me take you there. By 10 in the morning, the crowd is building, families with kids on their shoulders, veterans in their caps, some of them in wheelchairs pushed right up to the fence line. Groups of pilots in their bomber jackets, even though it's 75 degrees and sunny, because, honestly, when else are you going to wear the bomber jacket? Food vendors are firing up. The smell of kettle corn starts mixing with the Avgas. There's a guy selling handmade aircraft models carved from single blocks of wood, and they are stunning. The flying starts, and the announcer is giving the history of each aircraft as it takes the runway, and here's what makes Planes of Fame different from the big mega-shows. It's intimate. The crowd line is close. You are right there. When a P-51 Mustang lights up that Merlin engine, you don't just hear it. You feel the sound pressure change. Your shirt ripples. Kids grab their parents' legs, and everybody, every single person on that fence line, gets this look on their face. This look of absolute wonder. They flew the P-51. They flew a Grumman F-8F Bearcat, which is just an absolute monster of a radial engine fighter, short and stocky and angry-looking. It came off the runway and climbed at an angle that should not be legal for an airplane built in 1945. The crowd lost it.
People were cheering and hollering, and I was right there with them. Then they brought up a Focke Wulf 190, a German fighter, another incredibly rare aircraft, and they flew it in a simulated dogfight with a Supermarine Spitfire. I want you to picture this. A bright blue California sky, a German fighter and a British fighter, twisting and turning and chasing each other over the California desert, with the mountains in the background. The sound of those two engines weaving in and out of each other. The Spitfire's Merlin doing that signature howl, the Focke Wulf's BMW radial growling underneath it. I had chills, actual chills, in 75-degree weather. But the moment that stopped everything, the moment I will never forget, they brought the 0 hour.
The announcer asked the crowd to please be quiet. He said, "You are about to witness something that fewer and fewer people on this earth will ever see. This is the sound of an original Nakajima Sakai engine in an original Mitsubishi Zero taking to the sky," and the crowd went silent. I mean silent. Thousands of people, and you could hear the wind. The engine caught. It has this sound that is completely different from an American radial. It's smoother, higher pitched, almost musical. It spooled up and the Zero started rolling, and it lifted off so gently, so lightly, like it weighed nothing at all, because it practically doesn't. That was the whole design philosophy. Light, manoeuvrable, fragile, deadly, it flew past the crowd, low and slow, and I looked over at a man standing next to me. He was probably 85 years old, navy cap. He had tears running down his face. I didn't ask him why. I didn't need to. Some airplanes carry more than fuel and oil, they carry memory. The Zero did 3 passes, gentle turns, nothing aggressive. You could tell the pilot was treating it like glass. Because in a very real way it is. If that engine quits, there's no replacement waiting in a warehouse somewhere. That's it. That's the last one on the final pass. It came down the crowd line at maybe 200 feet, canopy glinting in the sun, and the crowd erupted. I mean erupted, standing ovation, for an airplane, for history, for the people who keep it alive. After it landed, I found Steve Hinton. If you don't know that name, you should. Steve Hinton is the president of the Planes of Fame Air Museum, and one of the most accomplished warbird pilots alive. This is a guy who has logged time in more types of World War II fighters than probably anyone currently living. He flew the P-51 in the earlier demonstration, and he's been flying out of Chino since he was a teenager. I asked Steve what keeps him doing this. He's been at it for decades. The fundraising, the maintenance, the constant battle to keep these airplanes flying when parts don't exist, and regulations get tighter every year.
He said something I want to share with you word for word. He said, "Every kid who sees that Zero fly, or that Mustang fly, or that Spitfire fly, they get something that no book or movie can give them. They get the real thing. The sound, the smell, the feeling in their chest. And maybe one of those kids grows up to be the next person who keeps these things in the air. That's why we do it. I love that. I absolutely love that. Now, let me give you some practical information, because I know some of you are already thinking about going next year. Chino is a towered field during normal operations. During the air show, they set up temporary flight restrictions. So if you're planning to fly in, check the notices to air missions well in advance. There is transient parking available, but it fills up fast. I mean fast. That's why I was there at the crack of dawn. The museum recommends coordinating with them ahead of time if you're flying in during the event. If you drive in, parking is straightforward and the event is well organized. General admission gets you great sight lines. But if you can swing it, get the ramp access pass. Being on the ramp side, being able to walk among these airplanes before and after they fly, that is worth every penny. The museum itself is open year-round, by the way. Even without the air show, you can go see the collection. The Zero, the Focke Wulf, the Bearcat, a flying Boeing B-17, a North American B-25, a Kawanishi N-1K, which is a Japanese floatplane fighter. The collection is unreal, and most of these aircraft are maintained in flyable condition, which is the whole point Planes of Fame, not planes behind a rope. One more thing. I met a family at the show. Mom, Dad, 2 kids, maybe 8 and 10 years old. They had flown in from Prescott, Arizona, in a Cessna 182. The dad told me they make this trip every year, he said. It's the one thing his kids ask about months in advance. Not Disneyland, not the beach. The air show at Chino. The 8-year-old told me her favorite airplane is the Spitfire, because, and I quote, "It sounds like it's singing. I wanted to put that kid on the radio right then and there."
That's the thing about Planes of Fame. That's the thing about Chino. It's not just an air show. It's a living museum that refuses to let these machines become static displays. Every flight is a gift.
Every engine start is a small act of defiance against time, and standing on that ramp, watching that zero climb into a California sky, hearing that Sakae engine fade into the distance, I thought about Dave the mechanic holding his breath until it lands, and I thought about Steve Hinton hoping one of those kids in the crowd picks up the torch, and I thought about that Navy veteran with tears on his face. This is why we do it, all of it. The flying, the maintaining, the volunteering, the showing up at 7:30 in the morning before the coffee is ready. If you want to learn more, the museum's site is planesoffame.org. Thanks to Steve Hinton and the incredible volunteer crew at Planes of Fame for letting me wander their ramp and ask 1,000 questions. You can find more from us at radiohangar.com. I'm Ramp. Go fly somewhere that gives you chills.